Looks like it's stopping.
Take a look at this, Ben.
Yeah. Brett, give me, what, you got a pen there? Give it to me, quick. Come on, come on!
Don't get any on your arm.
Stopped. Didn't say anything like that except, molecular acid.
It must be using it for blood.
Got a wonderful defense mechanism. You don't dare kill it.
What about Kane?
Midnight is the border, trying to cross the Rio Grande. Running with coyotes to where the streets are paved with gold. Diving underwater when you hear the helicopter. Knowing it's all been listening witness if you see the border patrol. Hiding in the shadows, so scared that you want to scream. But you dare not make the sound if you want to hold on to your dream. Hold on. It may not be a lot. Hold on.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And my belly is full.
Why is your belly full?
We keep making the same mistake.
Yep.
And overeating before this podcast.
Yes, but I don't know if that's a mistake more than...
It's a small miracle.
A character choice.
None of us have fallen asleep during this podcast. Just looked off in the distance for a second and then just heard snoring over the mic.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the playoffs have helped in that regard.
It really did. Speaking of playoffs, Kevin Durant is injured and I'm very upset.
I'm upset as well.
He's proper injured as well.
Like, I hadn't seen that man play it. And for the 3 seconds he played, he looked marvelous.
Yeah, he's really good.
Like, I legit was watching it and went, this is what they were talking about. That's right. There's no way they'd have a shot if this man was playing.
It was like, oh, that's right. He's better than Kawhi. He hasn't missed a shot. He's 18 feet tall. And no one can guard him. Damn it.
And he was like he was like walking on the court because he wasn't good.
And killing you fools.
I'm pretty sure if he wanted to, he could have gone back on the court, hopped on one leg and beat Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure what I should have done to him is told him, all right, just stand still in that spot. Don't move. The other four will do the work and you just do what you're doing. And they would have won. But hey, it was a rough game. Both teams played hard.
Yes.
And
both teams did play hard.
I watched that game in a bar and there were a lot of upset people.
Of course. I can imagine.
Of course. I bet you weren't upset when you and all of Toronto were cheering for a man who ruptured his Achilles.
It was funny to
goddamn.
It was
savages.
Funny to me because the reaction that you saw like on the court was pretty much the exact reaction was in the bar where it happened, and then you saw people cheer, and then the other half of the room was like, "Guys, calm down. It's a man being like his career might be over right now. Let's cool it.
Stop being dicks. Right. It's a children's game."
But moving right along, we're not here to talk about playoffs.
Aren't we though?
I mean, we will in some capacity.
Do you know how much years I've been waiting for this day? I said basketball. Like 6 months ago, I said basketball things and you people were just like, I don't know.
There's football to watch. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, there's no football to watch, so we can talk about all the basketball you want.
You're just like, basketball,
Basketball will be finished in about a week, so we have to find something else to watch.
There's Women's World Cup.
Didn't watch any other tennis.
But moving right along, we're not here to talk about the sports ball, Damian. I know it's your hope and dream, but we're not here to talk about it. We're here, however, to talk about the 2019 sci-fi thriller, Captive State, directed by one Mr. Rupert Wyatt, the man famed for films such as The Rise of the Planet of the Apes and The Gambler.
Which one? Oh, he's Gambler? Only made is
that,
garbage.
Is that Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg, yeah. Zuckerberg. Oh.
The movie is set in a neighborhood in Chicago a decade after the world has been taken over by aliens. And we follow as this uprising is attempted to occur.
Baby brother. You gotta pick a side. Hello, Gabriel. I want a lawyer. You and I both know those days are gone. You have a choice to make.
So I had seen both the movies that this director made before, mm-hmm. and they were bad. Mm-hmm. He's made zero good movies.
Mm-hmm. Which one? Sorry, which Apes did he make?
He made the third one.
Oh, so he made Cowboy.
He made the first one.
Oh, he made the first one.
Oh, the first one? By a lot of one.
All right, never mind. I thought it was the third one.
Put it in. All right, we're just going to call him Planet of the Apes 1, 2, 3 now. He made Planet of the Apes 1.
Okay. All right, never. I'd like to retract what I said. He made one okay movie and one really, really bad movie. The Gambler is trash.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I have seen it.
Oh, it's so bad.
I believe I saw it at the cinema.
I actually remember.
I think we went together.
I remember watching that movie. Yeah, that movie's and trash. It's probably bad, but I remember like liking its Martin Scorsese vibe enough that I kind of let it pass.
All right. You're a crazy person. Anywho, this movie, Andrew gave a brief synopsis, but the movie is about... It starts and you think it is about this boy who he lost his parents at the first point of contact. Then he has landed and there was a show of force and he lost both his mother and father because his father was determined to get them out of the city. And they were kind of quarantining the city and the aliens took them out. And then the movie jumps ahead 9-10 years and you see that there was two survivors in the car, a boy and his brother. You see the younger of the brothers and he's just out there, you know, like finding ways to get by. He has a job. That one's for you.
Yeah, you started out there.
Uh-huh.
And then you got by, and oh boy. Ew. Okay.
You want another Quali reference? No. just to get back. And he's struggling, but the movie doesn't really establish why he's struggling. As the movie progresses, you see that, he's just rebellious because clearly he grew up without structure and he still isn't fond of the takeover. They do enough to show you that at some point the world just went, we don't have the technology to fight these things, so we might as well try and live in harmony. And you see him try to push back, and he and some of his more rebellious friends are trying to push back. But then it is established pretty early on that his brother was a big part in some kind of uprising against these creatures.
Yeah, he was essentially, they referred to him as a legend at one stage.
And he's there's a mural of him on the side of a building, so clearly he's big. And so you get the idea that, oh, he also lost his brother as well. So he's now all alone. But you quickly learn that his brother didn't actually pass. His brother was just
what?
Out of
spoilers.
It's not really. And his brother has used him in a plot to to start a brand new uprising. And so that is what the crux of the movie is. In the middle bit, it it turns into kind of like a heist movie, except they're trying to plant a bomb on some official. An invisible bomb on some official. And that is where the movie really starts to get go. Like, the movie is in full stride when they finally get into that. And there's... The movie concludes in a satisfying way for me, even though I definitely 100% worked out the ending of this movie real early.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of... I don't know if it's... And Douglas talks about this from time to time. I don't know if the movie is trying to was foreshadowing or if it's just I've seen so many of these movies that I am confident in my guesses. But I found my... At the start of the movie, I was kind of flip-flopping because the movie didn't start strong. Let me not say that. There's a good opening, but then the movie kind of fades. Like, there's a very strong opening, but then the movie doesn't really go anywhere. It establishes the younger brother has a girlfriend and is doing some illicit shit on the side, but there's no real stakes as of yet. But then the movie picks up for me in the middle, when they're planning the heist and explaining how this, this gorilla network is set up and is working, and you see all the pieces moving. And that part, interested me. And then the conclusion of the movie, even though I knew what was coming, it was still impressive to see them actually get to the end. And this is one of the few times where, and I know the reason Douglas is just like, Douglas said, oh, Damian picked this movie is because we spoke before this and I told him that I did enjoy the movie. And so he thinks this is a defend your movie type statement, but it really isn't. I really didn't. 15 minutes in, if you would ask me, I'd have said, this movie is going to be real bad. But the movie, I feel, saved itself. It did a couple things that I enjoyed. I like the monster design. It's not overly complex.
You like the fleshlight design?
Basically. Like, it starts out as hair and then it becomes spikes. But you don't spend any real extended time with the monster. Like, you understand that they're a threat. They establish that real early, but you don't get a lot of time where you get to see them. They don't do a lot. When they're there, it is for a purpose. They don't just have aliens like patrolling the streets. And I like a little bit of the world building that they use to explain that away. They're like, listen, these guys, they're like set. I don't remember what they call them, but they're like
legislators.
Yeah, right. They say, right. They're like, listen, they come up with the legislation and we enact that, and they only come down, rarely or when, some ill shit needs to happen.
And what did they like, call
hunters?
It was hunters. Right.
You're just like, yeah. Oh, it's go time.
Essentially, it's predators, by the way.
Exactly.
They have. And it's crazy.
With like full suits of armor, yeah. And all that, like, it was real good. And so I found myself more and more engaged all the way up to the end. And I like the fact that, the person who was supposedly the main character, he's incidental to all of the goings on. Like, his job was just to, like, it is one of the few times a movie really did the thing where this person just locked his way into being in this movie. Because he is not the focal point of anything. He's just there, and then the movie happens kind of around him. And I did also enjoy that part of the movie. The problem is that I know Douglas hates this movie, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to defend a lot of this movie. John Goodman is John Goodman. He does his job all the time. He's better than most people at acting. The rest of the cast, though, I don't think holds up anywhere near as well. Which is why I know I definitely like this movie. Because I don't think the casting was... Like, the rest of the cast, not John Goodman, did not hold up their end of the bargain. But I still came away from this movie going, I think I like this movie. And it's not like John Goodman's character was, like, took up the bulk of the screen time. So there must be something here. I'm just not quite sure what it is, but I did like this movie.
Yeah, clearly you like Cameron a lot. Who? Ferris Bueller fan.
Douglas, right. Where is it that you fall in this District 10-esque film?
Oh, you mean, sorry, District Half.
District 1.
This is District Half. This movie sucks. So... And I don't really have a lot to say other than all the things Damien said,
mm-hmm.
except everything, stop pretending that those are good things.
Everything I said, but bad.
Yes. But so, I don't know. This movie wasn't particularly engaging to me. Also, it was one of the movies, again, similar to Us, except with Us, I feel like maybe I should like that movie, but I don't have that feeling here. I don't have any misgivings, any at all.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is a run-of-the-mill movie. So I'm going to be honest and say that I don't hate this movie because it's bad. It is bad,
mm-hmm.
but it's not god-awful. It is not trash. Mm-hmm. It's just a waste of my time. Right? It doesn't really engage me that much. It's a movie I've seen 1,000 times. It's a movie I've seen done better 1,000,000 times. It's a movie I've seen done worse 1,000,000,000 times. But it's a movie that just keeps coming up, mm-hmm. you know?
The Sci-Fi Channel exists.
Exactly.
To make this movie.
Aliens attack and we try to beat them.
Can you please stop talking about Neil Blomkamp's filmography?
He did those Halo projects. Did he?
And I mean, as Damien says, John Goodman always great. It's mm-hmm. always Funny. Fun watching him in anything.
Yes.
But everything else about this movie is mediocre at best. And I really just didn't care. So yeah, I just, this movie, it wasn't particularly engaging. You kind of kept along watching it and saying, sure, it's fine. It's the thing that you're used to seeing. But that's about as much feeling as I had for it. When it was over, I was extremely happy because I could not watch this movie anymore and do something better with my time.
Yay for not watching this movie.
did you not watch it?
I made it to 1:10.
All right.
Much like I got to the point where they have like the bomb heist thing going,
mm-hmm.
and the bomb goes off, and like the guys get away from the District 9 people. I'm calling them District 9 people because I don't know what else to call them.
Right.
The aliens. And then at that point, I ran out of time, and now I'm here. So I don't know what happens in the end of this movie, but I can tell you, based on what I've seen, I'm on Douglas's side of this argument.
I don't care what happens.
Damien, I very much wanted you to just, like, tell me what happens at the end of this movie, because...
I can.
I really don't know if this movie has anything to surprise me with at this point. It felt like a movie. All right.
So, what do you think happens at the end?
We'll
dub the spoilers. But what do you think happens at the end?
But,
okay, so hold on. Before we move on,
yes,
Andrew, mm-hmm. please He didn't mean it, but I want you to dub the spoilers.
Yes.
I want this to be like a Japanese kicker where you hear something like, and then he, mother lover, or, you know, like we need a dub. Mm. It cannot be a bleep. It must be a dub.
Right. And when he walked into the bar, he, what do I think happens in this movie? I legitimately think this movie ends with basically the aliens kind of stepping on the people trying to uprise to be like, we can do this really easily, right?
Mm-hmm. Trying to uprise.
Trying to uprise. Yeah. You know, like phoenixes, they rise up and they uprise same time.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
And
I mean, if there's downfall, there must be uprise. only sensories.
Just like the down pressers, right?
Right.
The reverse backers.
The overstanders.
I assume that we discover something about... We discover that... I don't know what else to guess at this point.
So it's like 40% of the way there? So yeah, that's... So right, you also worked out immediately. Once it's like, I was friends with your father, you're just like, I know where this show is going.
No, for me, it was really the thing with Vera Farmiga more than I was friend with your father. Like him going roundabout ways to get all of these things from her. I'm like, he has to be a part of like this underground shit, isn't he? So yeah, I don't know what to really talk about with this movie other than I just really wasn't that into it. Like, it felt like sci-fi channel... level stuff. And I know you guys kind of want to keep talking about The Expanse and that level of thing being great. And I still need to try The Expanse for you guys. Still, this movie just felt mediocre.
If I mean, it's sad when I say, if you compare this full movie to The Expanse... This movie is absolute garbage.
It's garbage. And The Expanse is one of those things. I don't know about Damien. I feel like Damien just woke up and loved The Expanse. But for me, when I watch The Expanse, it's something that grows on you, right? Because the first couple of episodes, it is good, but it's good as the thing that you've already seen. So you kind of watch it and your mind is telling you, no, this is probably foolishness because it's obviously going to play into all of the tropes. But then you end up loving it anyway. It's great.
No, when the first season of The Expanse is your run-of-the-mill, typical sci-fi bullshit. Yeah. And they have like their MacGuffin thing and they're like, this blue thing is going to change the world. And you're just like, whatever show. But there's something about the show that keeps you watching.
Yeah.
But then as the show is supposed to wrap up. That
something is Thomas Jane.
Yes. As I was going to call him. As the show is about to wrap up, you see something changes. Like, I don't know if it's the initial story because I still haven't read the books yet. But as the season is coming to an end, you realize that there's something else about this show. And on the final episode, you get to see what that something else is. And so you enter season two with an expectation. And this season two takes whatever you expected and just bats that shit out. Like, season two is some of the goodest TV I've ever seen in my life.
thinking more about this movie... I feel I'd rather rewatch Battle LA, that movie with Aaron Eckhart where aliens came in and it was the military.
You're a terrible person, Andrew Robinson.
I mean, as much as I don't
Andrew,
like this
that
movie,
is not nice.
I don't know that it's got that far.
That is just mean. At least I appreciated some of the world building in this. That Battle LA movie is just garbage. It and Skyline might as well be the same movie. And Battleship? Woo!
I remember when Rihanna
was in movies.
Don't you besmirch the good name of Battleship. That movie is properly done.
And John Carter.
Back when Disney didn't know how to make good movies.
Back before Disney hired Warner Brothers.
Back before Disney had Star Chief Wars Operating and Officer. Marvel to run their business for them.
This is like, that man took fucking Harry Potter and built an $8 billion franchise. Let's hire him.
Is that what Feig, where Feig comes from?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, not Feig, no.
Oh, who?
The actual head of Disney, no.
Oh, Iger?
Yeah.
Really?
One of them is from Warner Brothers.
No, man. Iger's been with Disney for ages, but maybe somebody else.
Right, there's someone, because The Economist did a story where they're like, the guy that turned Harry Potter into a $1 trillion business wanted more money and more freedom at Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers was hesitant, and Disney said, yes, sir. And he came and he's just like, every superhero movie, and we should buy Star Wars. He's the one that told them, go and buy me Star Wars.
Star Wars.
And they're just like, all right, word. And then after buying Star Wars, he was just like, every single movie that Disney has ever done in the past, we're going to do live adaptations. We're going to QA the shit out of them. And they're going to print money. And he's been right so far. Yeah, even that, even that Aladdin. Shitty Aladdin movie is printing money.
Yeah, it is.
Because for all we complain, we're not the target audience.
No, of course. And guess what?
Disney Channel is still the Disney Channel.
Yeah, of course. And guess what, Damian? As much as I am still complaining, I'm 100% going to watch that movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid too. I'm still going to watch it.
I think I might go watch The Lion King.
The only one that I might not watch is Dumbo.
Yeah, the Dumbo one seems aggressively bad.
Yeah.
Directed by Tim Burton.
Yep.
Yeah, that stopped holding... That name stopped carrying water years
ago. That's why I mentioned it. Evidence to not watch it. But, yeah. So our
remember when putting Tim Burton's name on stuff meant something?
Batman. Yeah. That's what
it was. There was a time.
What? Tim Burton did this? Let's go.
Remember when people put Tim Burton's name on Batman and everyone's like, what the fuck is he doing Batman for?
Yeah. And it was awesome.
Yep. That was right after he did Beetlejuice.
What the fuck is Michael Keaton doing being a Batman? I love people continually having that conversation with every Batman that's announced. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, George Clooney's Batman. What the fuck is George Clooney doing being Batman? Ben Affleck is Batman. What the shit is he doing being Batman? Robert Pattinson is Batman. What the shit is he doing Batman? Like, guys, it's fucking Batman.
Can we give Idris Elba one of these parts? Because he said he's Black Superman.
But he's already Black Superman. He doesn't need Batman. Right.
But let's actually give it to him.
Let's make him the actual Black Superman.
Speaking of Black Superman, I've been checking Carib's website for Brightburn. Just day in day.
Is it happening?
Just every day, just look at that website. Just please. It's not happening. Not for now.
Not happening.
Yeah. It should. No, they've run trailers quite out here.
Yeah, and also remember, it's a horror movie, Andrew. Or at least people think it's a horror movie. And horror movies do bank out here.
So.
Which is, by the way, probably a reason why, unless you fuckers force me to watch it, I will not be watching it outside of my
house. Oh, Brightburn? But if Andrew is correct and it's as awesome as Andrew say, we should probably watch that at Carib.
So moving along, since I think we've kind of passed on the sci-fi channel.
Yeah.
Sci-fi channel
Garden
conversation.
State is not that
good. I have a couple of things I want to mention before we move on. Number one, I rewatched Douglas's favorite movie ever again.
Yes, you did. I saw that on, what's you call it? Letterboxd.
That Being Chef. This movie keeps...
I left you a comment and you didn't respond.
I know, because you don't deserve response. This movie remains one of the most enjoyable things I don't love.
Wow.
That's just bad mind right
now.
Wow. This movie is really fucking good. Right?
Is it?
I just love hanging out with this movie. It's just...
It's so good.
Do I have to watch Chef again?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Don't do this.
I can watch that movie No, I know. 24/7.
You're a psychopath.
And I think what got
me... I think I've seen this movie twice and not liked it either time.
What got me how I ended up rewatching this is that Netflix just put up a show with Jon Favreau. Yeah,
it's bad.
I've only watched the first episode. It doesn't look that...
It makes no sense.
It doesn't
sense.
Make that much sense, yeah. But it reminded me of it. And I went, I bet it's on Netflix. And then I found the movie and I just watched
the
movie.
I bet it's as good as right. Chef.
Yeah, it's all over the place. So I'll probably continue to watch the Chef Show. I think I've watched 2, maybe 3 episodes. Like, it's horrible. So what really happened? It's clear, right? So what's his face? Jon Favreau clearly enjoyed doing the show because what happened is it's the chef that trained him to do chef.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about it, how, you know, he loved, you know, doing this and that and the other. And then the movie finished and the guy stopped training.
He had to go back to work.
Exactly. So he's like, here, what? Why don't we do the show so we can cook again?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that mattered.
Yes.
Then they no longer, right. There was no thought process as to what was this show
How
going to be.
How can we shoehorn our show into this?
Exactly.
And con so, Netflix into paying.
Essentially, each episode, and the first episode is actually not as bad as the rest. Each episode is essentially 4 or 5 recipes, them just cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really fun about it. And it jumps to it. It's hard to follow. It's kind of disjointed. But every once in a while, there'll be nice moments. Like Bill Burr is in it and making fun about the grilled cheese sandwiches. The Marvel guys are in it, and they have this big lunch and stuff. So there are good moments, but yeah, for
yeah, it, I'll probably watch it because mostly I like kind of watching cooking shit. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I continuing down the Netflix train, I watched Always Be My Maybe, or as Douglas likes to call it, Asian Long Shot.
Asian Long Shot. Right?
That's and I think my favorite comment about this movie was written on Letterboxd by Matt Brown, where he says, and I quote, this movie jumps up such an astonishing notch when Keanu shows up that it's literally not fair to the rest of this movie or any other movie. Right? This movie is...
That is very true.
This movie is not a good movie.
No, it's not.
But... The movie that is but the Netflix, movie right? that is the Keanu Reeves scenes of this movie are the best is the best movie of 2019. Right?
And Andrew, that song at the end.
Oh yeah.
Mwah.
So you're saying I can watch the final 15 minutes of this movie?
No, Damien, Andrew doesn't like bad movies.
Fair enough.
You at least have a chance of appreciating what I appreciate about this film.
Arms out and fresh off the boat.
Yes.
Plus Keanu as the kicker. Your sales pitch is real good, but it says Netflix.
Keanu Reeves is so fucking good in this movie. It's upsetting how good Keanu Reeves is in this movie.
He's good in a lot of things. The Matrix. John Wick.
I mean, this is a week where I had Keanu Reeves at E3 presenting cyberpunk trailers.
Yes.
And screaming at crowds that people are magnificent.
Yeah.
E3 is going on.
Fun as
so
shit.
Yeah, that's the next thing. E3 is going on and I've just been watching non-stop E3 things. I can't...
New video games.
I can't wait... For that new Arcane game. I've forgotten the name already, but it's people from Dishonored, and they're doing some time looping thing that looks dope.
Yep, with two people murdering each other. Seems good.
Right. I am intrigued by the new Rainbow Six.
Hard pass.
And I got more Death Stranding, and I got a trailer for...
That's not a real video game.
I got another trailer for Cyberpunk, which promises me next year.
Yeah. It is very sad
that most of the games I am looking forward to are games that have a number at the end of them that come out every year. It's like,
Pro Evo, I play Madden this year.
I need to play Pro Evo this year. That basketball game this year. Whenever they announce Red Dead for computers, I'm going
to
play.
You know which game surprised me that I'm interested in, and I haven't played any of it. It has a number on it, but I've never played any of these games. Is the Watch Dogs mm-hmm. game? I yeah. saw the yeah, video for true. Watch Dogs 3, and
it looks
fun. Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's having, I don't know if it's just
having grannies
that clip of the granny
shoot people. Yeah, it's a granny. So I don't know if you've seen it.
I saw a picture of a granny, so now I know right. what you're talking about.
So it's
about.
A home world game, yeah. but you can essentially recruit anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a full demo where someone recruits an 8-year-old woman. And she's straight up doing open world type shenanigans. But she can't run because she's 80.
Mm-hmm.
And she has... the world reacts around her like she's 80. So, there's, a security checkpoint, but no one checks her because she's 80 fucking years old.
It's like, it's okay, Grandma. You yeah, can come in.
Pretty much. And I think that is real good.
Yep.
But video games, this year is real weird. Because next year, new video game systems comes out.
Yeah, they've already started to talk about Project Scarlet.
Right. And Sony has been talking about the PS5 for
Sony's
about 3
months. We ain't here for E3. We'll talk to you next year about secret things. Yeah. We know what that means.
And Sony has, despite them not being at the show, they have the Final Fantasy VII Remake,
mm-hmm.
which people are going to... There's going to be fires
See
leaked.
Me here,
people
I'm waiting for Final Fantasy VII.
When that game comes
Sephiroth.
They also have The Last of Us 2,
yeah.
which for anyone that has ever played The Last of Us is like, it is, Last of Us 2 is basically Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't come out till later this year, allegedly.
I think it's supposed to be next year. I think they're pushing it to next
year.
Oh,
it's next year now? Alright. So... and they have that samurai game that they showed off for half a second, whenever. So Sony has games that people are looking forward to, but they're not at the show, which is mm-hmm. a dick move. I understand why they didn't go, but
you're
Sony,
we don't want you to ask
E3.
Us about changing the goddamn name on PlayStation anymore.
Right. Sony, it's E3, and I get why you're not going. Money is still money, but for fuck's sake. These videos that you're putting out is cute, but that's
I
not,
still secretly not okay. wish that movies took the... I mean, I know games don't do this. They do the whole thing anyways. Mm. I wish movies had an E3. An E3 that was presented to me in the mode that E3 is. Right?
Yeah.
Because I think I know there's CinemaCon, which is kind of the same thing, but it's not publicly...
Right, but it's not for people.
Right?
It's not for real
they don't,
people.
They don't publicly show all those conferences.
Yeah.
But I just love the concept of once a year, I spend 1 week finding out all the new things.
Yeah. Everyone comes together and they're just look at all our new shit.
Right. And right. I think that would be awesome for movies. Once a year, we just see all the trailers and we're like, all right, cool. And then, for the rest of the year, unless it's something that was made by 3 people in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to hear about it. You just know the dates.
Right.
Right.
Right. You get hyped for the year. You're just all right. There's nothing out now, but at least I know that there are these 18 things. That is what CES is, even though Apple is not there because they're dicks. And as you say, E3 does it. I wish they do it with music. All the entertainment genres, they should do it with music too. It's everybody that's planning to put out an album this year comes to this thing and pitches their album. Just so that I can laugh.
Who would be the
just to hear
Damien,
people.
Who would be the Bethesda of movies?
The Bethesda of movies would be IFC Films. Where they have that one big thing that everyone loves, and then the rest of it is just bullshit that you've never heard of.
And what would be their dance?
No, you're thinking of Ubisoft.
Oh shit, Ubisoft. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Bethesda is
right.
Doom. So
yeah, you're right. Right. Right.
Ubisoft. Who would be Ubi? Ubisoft would have been Fox. Fox doesn't exist anymore.
And would Dance Dance for Fox be X-Men? You're just like, here's X-Men.
Just something that comes out every year and just like, who the fuck keeps watching these? It would work. That would be fun. To have people pit film studios against them one another.
Actually, I can't wait for Disney to do an actual X-Men movie. Yeah.
Would it be better than First Class?
It probably will be.
Do you remember how good First Class was?
Yes, I do.
And they threw away all of that goodwill?
I hear you. Do you remember how good every Marvel movie is nowadays?
I would say there's maybe two Marvel movies better than First Class.
I hate you, Damien. I hate you so much.
give me three.
Damien. Damien. Damien.
But consistently, Damien.
We've had this conversation already, and we disagree on the Marvel movies that we like.
Oh, no, I'm saying you give me three Marvel movies that you like more than X-Men First Class.
Winter Soldier.
All right.
Black Panther. There it goes.
Absolutely not.
Homecoming.
What was the one Homecoming. After? What was the... All right. Douglas, give me your three.
I'm not even going to have this argument.
Thor Dokum. Because you know, I'm kind of right. The rest of them were real bad.
Yeah, but
especially compared to...
You see, the thing is, right? So, your argument is because they did it once. I know that Disney is going to... Can bring it back
their
to that.
Consistency.
And just keep it going.
Right. No, I also...
Also, I'm sure they have Taika and...
Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm also awaiting new... Mm-hmm. Disney overlords, X-Men.
Yes.
I have sense. I know that they're probably going to do it better.
Yeah.
My problem will be that there's not one. Like, my issue will always be, kind of like the Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of the Spider-Man movies, not Spider-Man 2, was anywhere near as good as Spider-Man 2? And the answer is none of them. Tobey Maguire was a bitch.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man 2 is still a better movie than every other Spider-Man movie, not Into the Spider-Verse.
To be fair, by better, you mean we like it more.
What else am I supposed to use to judge better?
Boy, Damien, I've been singing praises on a certain Asian longshot movie that I would probably say I like more than a lot of movies. I don't think it's better than anything. No. I've watched Spider-Man 2 recently.
Mm-hmm.
I adore that movie.
It's real good.
Do I think it's actually a good movie?
I still think it's
I don't a good know movie. About that.
I mean, we're using comic book movie standards. I don't know what movie... I'm not talking against real movies. I hope you're... Still using the actual.
But I think they're actual good Marvel movies.
Like three of them.
Captain America 1, 2, and 3.
No, Captain America 2 and 3. And if you take the half of the first Avengers and the half of the last Avengers, you get three movies. I'm a fan of Miss Marvel. That ain't a great movie.
Yeah, it's just a cookie cutter.
I love me some Ant-Mans.
So Damien.
Also not that
Is it okay for me to say so?
Ant-Man.
So it's Ant-Man. Hard for me to judge sometimes what's a good movie from what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Is Doctor Strange a good movie?
Doctor Strange is a okay movie. It's fun as shit.
I really like that movie a lot.
if you take a step back, it breaks literally everything about their universe.
Yes.
And if you take a further step back, none of what they set up in the start of that movie makes a lot of sense when you get to the end of that movie. But who cares? Fancy powers and maths. And the ending is tremendous. The Dormammu thing with the time stone and him, like, having a bad guy literally just go, fuck it, I give up. It's a strong way to end the movie.
So, Damien.
You're dumb. You're so dumb.
With a lack of sports to watch, what have you been keeping yourself warm
with?
Oh,
shit.
My phone.
Your phone? God damn it.
Douglas, you go, let me get my phone.
I have been subbed in.
Yes.
So I've actually been watching a couple of things. I can give you an update on... Shit, I still don't have a name for it. James Bond Theater.
Uh-huh.
I am now...
Used to be Reese.
I'm now up to a new Bond. Mm. So they... we spoke last time about how... I was in the middle of Australian Bond.
Right.
I've passed that movie now. I finished that movie. They went back to Sean Connery for Diamonds Are Forever, which I just finished watching. And now I'm in the middle of Roger Moore's first Live and Let Die.
Would you call him a gold Bond?
let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about Australia. I think I really like that movie. On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Don't get me wrong, it's atrocious. It's bad. But I quite like that movie. And Diana Rigg kind of being, well, first of all, she's Diana Rigg. And I don't know if Andrew remembers this, but here is how I know Diana Rigg. I know Diana Rigg as the presenter of PBS's Sunday Midnight Murder Mystery Theater. And so I know her because I'm a young man. I know her as an old ass woman. To see her, and this always gets me it with anybody, to see her as a young woman, a girl essentially, it's crazy to try and essentially put that face versus the face that I know. There are a lot of other people that are like that for me, where, you know, some people they grow up and you're like, oh, they still look the same, but just an older version. There are other people like her where it's not the case. Like James Coburn is one of those people as well. So is Mandy Patinkin. There's some folks that, to me, there are two actors. There is old person and young person. And that's what Diana Rigg is in this movie for me. And to see her as not just, because she's a Bond girl in this movie, don't get me wrong, but she's also kind of there for Bond whenever he needs her and is this kind of spark in terms of some of the crazy action-y things that happen. And that's pretty cool, especially for a movie of this, at this time of the Bond canon. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the later movies, there's no movie that's good to women in this series. But,
all right.
But that was fun. Yeah, I'm not really going to talk too much about anything else because it's all James Bond. The only thing I will say is, so far, Thunderball is crap. Diamonds Are Forever is okay. Sorry, You Only Live Twice. That was a bad one that I was going to say. I don't like that one. Yay for becoming Japanese. So I watched not too many movies other than that, but one thing I've been watching a lot of, is a TV show on Netflix, Peaky Blinders. Mm-hmm. You know this one, Damien? Have you watched this?
No.
Okay. So, it's been on my radar for a long time, probably since it started. And because of the people that are in it, in particular, Cillian Murphy.
Yes.
And it turns out that also Tom Hardy plays a role. Yeah, makes an appearance in the show. So I keep saying I'll watch it. Finally, I've watched it. This is now 5 years after I think it starts, something like that. And Damian, I started watching this show, I think at the beginning of this weekend. I'm probably in the middle of the third season, maybe close to, maybe in the fourth. I'm not sure exactly where. But guess what? I like this show. It's criminals. It's British. Mm-hmm. And it has big names that I like. No shit, I like this show. Right? It's essentially The Godfather in England. And it just keeps going. It's great. And outside of that, sports. Damian, what have you been watching? You sub back in. I tag you back in.
All right. So, Andrew, at some point...
Yes, sir.
You told me to watch an anime. What is called School Days.
I can't wait to hear about... How far did you get? Did you get through the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. No. Oh. Please proceed.
The final episode is spectacular.
Thank you. I know you have to go through a lot to get there, but I feel like...
Some real shit goes down in this fight. The final episode is so good, it made me hate the rest of this anime more. There's no fucking way this is where. Douglas, for, what's it, 9 episodes, something like that?
It is like a harem love story.
Yeah. For most of this, from like every episode that is not the final episode, it is just fucking teenage love story bullshit. Mm-hmm. Right? And I was just like halfway through, I'm just like, and Andrew finally did it.
And guess what?
He finally got me. He fucked me with one of these. He's like, I'm going to give him a couple good ones. Lull him into a false sense of security and fuck him hard. And that is what I felt.
And then the end came.
Yo, dog. That final episode is spectacular.
You're welcome, Damien. My only fear was that you would have given up like at episode 6 and been like, Andrew, just messing with me.
Douglas, I've never seen anything go from like PG-13 run of the bill bullshit to like the hardest R murder. It switches up just out of no, like,
and it, and there's the worst part,
there's a common love interest,
he deserves it so hard.
Like, what happens to him initially, you're just like, is this cartoon serious? And then it continues. And it just keeps going towards the end. And at the end of it, I'm just like, the journey isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
The good thing is, you can just watch the final episode and you will have, like, the same shock value will be there. You just will have the boredom in between. Like, because at the start of the episode, you still don't know that these things are about to happen. Mm-hmm. And when they start, you're just like, what is this show? And it just continues, and then it ends.
Like, I mean, I feel like the back half of the season, like, there's some twistings of like, the love story thing, where it kind of changes, where you're like, are they doing this thing where we can have this sort of, like, a high school romance story, where he's doing all these things? And then the final episode just kind of nails it all down.
Yes. The what I'd say is don't watch this.
Well, it sounds like what you're really saying is but that only final watch episode, the last episode.
Right, don't watch this, but that final episode is tremendous.
What you're saying is you should create a Damian cut of the first 6 episodes and then just watch it.
No, I don't even think you need those. I think you can just go straight. to the final episode.
But does this go into the positive column is the question.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. It's too much work. It's too much work for that payoff. Too much. somehow, Crashpad was still on this list. Watch Crashpad again. Ah. That movie ain't good.
No, it's not.
Which movie is Crashpad?
It's still real good. Crashpad.
Dancing Domino Gleeson.
All right. Yeah. All right, cool. Never mind. Yeah. I forgot for that a minute what that good. Is.
But
you should watch Crashpad.
I've seen it. I just forgot. Have you? I just forgot it.
No, you haven't seen it because I don't think you like it. So you didn't watch it. Right.
You need to step your game up. Yes. I finished watching Historical Roasts.
Oh, I need to start that.
It is so good.
You'll know if you like that.
in the first 30 right seconds.
And I started with one anime, so it only seems fair to end with one anime. Andrew told me to watch Mob Psycho. Mob Psycho sucks. All right, that's it.
What was that? Mob Psycho is what?
Mob Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mob Psycho sucks.
Aww.
It's no good. Mm-hmm. The premise is fun. There's unlike Hinamatsuri, where the premise is dumb and it continues to evolve and get better. Me and Mob Psycho, I don't know. There's something that's just not there.
It doesn't go full One Punch Man.
Right. Also, that might be it. Also, I've been watching season 2 of One Punch Man, and I got so upset at one point that I just stopped watching an episode and just started watching season 1 of One Punch. Season 2 is shit. It is the worst. Douglas, it has... You remember the second season of Legion, we're just like, what the fuck is happening?
I know. Why I remember the so second bad? Season of Legion where the only thing that was in that show was the king guy.
Yeah.
What was his name?
The Farouk. Shadow King.
Shadow King.
Farouk. Yeah.
You could just put together one episode of him.
All of his clips. And that's as good as it got.
Yeah.
Season 2 of One Punch Man is worse than.
Well.
If it weren't for the fact that the same people are in it, it feels like a different. It feels like something, like somebody. It feels like a bootleg of the first season. Right, that's what I mean. It feels like someone saw One Punch Man through like a window and went, I can do that. And then they did it and misunderstood literally everything about what was special about the first season. Douglas, the first season is 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 12 damn near perfect episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We're 9 episodes into the second season. And there's not been a half a good episode. It sucks. So, like, I'm upset even thinking about it right now. And so that's probably why I also wasn't a fan of the mob show, Mob Psycho. Because there's too many parallels to One Punch Man.
Because he's super overpowered, but he doesn't really know it.
Right. It doesn't feel special. And so I think that is it. Maybe if I watch it, if I give it some time, I watch it separated from season 2 of One Punch Man. But it's, oh my, like, I sat there watching it and was just like, is this just, like, are these the people that gave me season 2 of One Punch Man? Like, this just sucks. I don't want to watch any more of
this. I mean, I know where you are in this whole setup. And I know this will sound like a trick, but yes, unlike One Punch Man, I think season 2 of Mob Psycho gets a lot better. It leans more into its dumbness.
That's good.
And like, something is better. It has a big hit into the action towards the tail end. Like with a lot of shonen animes, like the the last like four episodes, like they just go full out, right?
Like, Doug, like the thing, like the premise for One Punch Man is that this guy is just like he's stronger than everybody, so nothing is a challenge. And what season one did was continue to use every other character as like a bar that you could judge against how strong this guy actually is. And as the characters around him got stronger, the actual action scenes picked up, but not around your main character, because he is like nothing phases him. So it was just a situation of watching everyone around him get stronger and like take on the other people, and he'd be this trump card. And then right at the very end, they gave you a glimpse. They're just like, what if this final bad guy is as powerful as him? And that is when they went into, like, they went into full ridiculous mode. Like, there's a point where a man punches this guy off the planet and onto the moon. And you're just like, all right. And
I
then
think,
he...
I think I tried to watch the first episode and didn't like it of this One Punch Man business.
And then he jumps off the moon and back onto Earth. And you're just like, I don't know what the fuck is happening here. But everything around him got progressively better. Down to how they animated everyone. Especially because he's just this plain shitty character. A lot of time they don't even shade him in. It's just a bald, a round face. And then it is juxtaposed against him actually doing like proper fights, and then they animate him properly. It's like actual muscle definition. And you're just like, all right. And they keep doing this back and forth, but everything felt like it had weight and there were stakes. Even though in the back of your head, you're like, he can't be defeated. This season, nothing is happening. A lot of the fights are even off screen, which is a thing you cannot
do. The reason you're watching the show is not on the show?
It's not on the show.
Okay.
It's real bad.
Okay.
And
doing a real good job of selling this.
It's season two sucks. It's real bad. And it's extra painful because another show that Andrew brought to me, My Hero, that season two is when you saw, like, it felt like season one is where it was the test case. Mm-hmm. And season two is when someone wrote them a blank check and go fucking buck wild. And that's what they did in season two. Season two, like, they felt overly confident. They're just like, listen, we don't need fillers. We don't need to waste your time. This is the story that you want to see. And they just, like, it is 20 some episodes, and at no point do you feel like, yeah, but there's an episode where you can just go, all right, let's just spend some time with these people. It's full speed ahead. And that is, like, I thought that after, like, the age of Dragon Ball and Naruto and all of those shows where there were 4 million episodes and, like, two good ones, everyone learned their lesson. But apparently, that's not the case. It's on its way back here to scoop you up, but not on my watch. I wanna stay with you, my love, the way some science fiction does. Reflections in the silver screen, a strange society.